the word freedom of religion has no meaning to the Indian people. So somewhere we had to seek that freedom. Somewhere we had to fight for that freedom. It does not look too good on this country when the native people have to go to another country seeking their rights. But we had no alternative. So we made these presentations to the international communities in Geneva, Switzerland, in 1977. To back up our complaints, not too long after that, there were several bills introduced to abrogate treaties. To do away with all the treaties that the Indian people had with the United States government. According to the paperwork, there was to be no more Indians. And again, the Indian people had to stand up again and prove to this country that we are the original people of this country. We are still here. So the longest walk was organized from the West Coast. People began to walk into different states, all the way to Washington, D.C. Everywhere our people went, they found United States citizens that knew nothing about these bills. Right here in America, there are people here that know nothing about the native people's struggles. Going plumb across this country, arriving in Washington, D.C., I could see not only the red people marching for their rights, but we, along the road, we found the non-Indian people who believes in freedom. We found non-Indian supporters along the way, the white people, the black people, the yellow people begin to support us. They begin to stand behind us. Hundreds, thousands of them marched into Washington, D.C. with us to show support. During the time that we were in D.C., for the first time that I know of, traditional people were able to get into the White House. We've had tribal council members, we've had tribal chairmen, we've had principal chiefs of different tribes, but none has ever tried to open the doors for traditional people to walk into the White House. For themselves, yes, they've been there to Washington several times. But we've never had any of our medicine people. We've never had our elders. We've never had the grassroots people to go into the White House to speak to the president or the vice president, Secretary of Interior. But because of the support that the longest walk had, we were able to get in there and talk to the vice president and many other government officials. It was these people who were determined to get freedom for their people. People who were seeking justice in this country made it possible. But some of our elders go into the White House, even if they had interpreters to speak for them, we were able to get in there and present our grievance to the Vice President Mondale. We've had representatives go to Washington time over and over. Years and years ago, I gave up hope on some of our representatives. Some of our tribal leaders, council members, chiefs, chairmen, made several trips to Washington. Upon arriving in Washington, receptions was prepared for them. So they dined at the same table, wearing their suits, neckties on, having the same kind of a haircut as a secretary has, dressed up like the government officials, sitting at the same table with them, made those tribal leaders feel so good, they forgot what they went there for. So we couldn't find no changes coming about for the Indian people. We couldn't see nothing happening for our people. The living conditions was the same on Pine Ridge Reservation and all the other reservations. The people who were in control over the money, over the fundings and programs, they had their nice cars, they had their nice homes, they were well dressed. But the people out on the reservations in the rural areas, their living conditions was not changing. So something had to be done to make these changes. And it took just ordinary people, mainly coming out from this young generation, to wake up the government. Many times we hear people talking about this group as violent groups. We still talk about Wounded Knee and what happened there. People still talk about the damages that was done in the Bureau of Indian Affairs, 1972. This has no meaning to me. Every freedom-loving person should stop and find out why these Indians are acting like they are. Why are they demonstrating? Why were they protesting? Why are they doing this? Check that out. If you believe that everybody is equal, if you believe that everybody is free, find out the reasons behind Wounded Knee. Find out why the Longest Walk, and you will find the oppressed people right in your backyard. You will find the poorest people. Once a proud nation, but brought down to where they became beggars in this country. They are right here within the United States. You will find out who is being denied the human rights. So we must stop and think why our young people were acting as they were. There was a time when they were proud people. But when they had to move away from the reservations and go into the urban areas, into city life, that too became a hard life for them because they were denied jobs. They were refused jobs. Not because they were dope addicts, not because they were alcoholics, but simply because of their color, they were denied these jobs. On the streets of Denver, on the streets of San Francisco, New York City, Indian people, young Indian people that went to school, the same as you are here, were denied jobs and they had to walk down these streets with their heads hanging down in shame because they were Indians. But I am proud to say those days are over now. That they no longer have to be ashamed of being an Indian. Today they are proud Indian people. I'm proud to see our young Indian people taking part in these demonstrations. I was glad to see them on the Longest Walk when they arrived in Washington. Everywhere I go, wherever I see our young Indian people with braided hair, wearing a feather in their hats, showing their Indianness. I'm proud of them because they no longer have to be ashamed that they are Indians. The Indian awareness is here, and there is no way that we're going to avoid it. The prophecy says that we will come to that forked road, that we will have to make a decision on which road we're going to take. We cannot walk both roads. We have to take one or the other. And we are now at that forked road. And that's why many of our young Indian people prefers to be Indians again. There was a time when even our own people pointed at one another and laughed at one another, calling them old-timies. When they talked about ceremonies and their dances, they were ashamed to dance. They were ashamed to be at a ceremony at one time. But today, the interest has grown. The spiritual rebirth has come about. And it was these kind of movements that made it possible for this to happen. We gained the attention of the world. The world now knows that there are native people here. The world now knows that we do have a religion of our own. We do have ceremonies of our own. So in 1980, in November, once again, we made another trip to Rotterdam, to the Russell Tribunal. Different Indians from different tribes, many nations of people were there to make presentations again in this tribunal. We're now letting the world know where Mr. Indian stands. We now let the world know if we are indeed free people or not. The freedom that the native people are talking about today is not the freedom that you may be thinking about. We're not talking about free to go into the bars. If you don't want me in Hilton Inn, I'm not going to fight you for it, because that's not the kind of freedom that I am seeking. The freedom that the native people is seeking today is to be free and be who they are. They have a right to be who they are. That's why I encourage the Indian people. You can be nobody else. There is no failure in life until you try to be somebody else. So you have to be who you are. Once you get back to being Indians again, no one will have to tell you how to act. You will know exactly what to do. Whatever is not a part of your culture, you will let that go. Because we can prove that we had a government that could not fail. We had a government that was workable. A government that has been tested and tried for thousands and thousands of years. And that government is still workable. We are the only people within this country that live without jailhouses, without prisons. We had no insane asylums, but life went on right here in America into thousands of years. And what was so wrong with that kind of a life? There is nothing wrong with that way of life. Be who you are, and you will know what to do. No one will have to tell you what to do. In closing, I would like to say to the students, if we have any students here, sometimes people misunderstand me. I am not against education, but I am against brainwashing. As long as you don't forget who you are, where you come from, there is nothing wrong with education. But if you forget that you are Indian, if you forget your own people, if you only learn one way of life, you will never be no help to me. But if you know both ways of life, if you think that I should be condemned, you can go ahead and condemn me. But until you know both ways of life, you have no right to condemn me or my religion or my way of life. And that has been the case with our Indian people for many years. For years and years, different organizations cried and cried and begged the government because we didn't have no Indian employees in the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And one day, they passed a law called Indian Preference Law. And so our educated Indians began to work for the BIA. But according to the education system, they didn't know anything about themselves, but they knew everything about the white man's way of life. So it didn't do no good to put the Indians behind the desk. What we found there was a brown white man. And sometimes our Indians are, sometimes they're even more damaging than white men sometimes. So we must know both ways of life. In that way, no matter how much education you get, you will never forget who you are. If you don't forget who you are, you will be able to help your own people. There was a time when grandma sent you to school, maybe to a little grade school, maybe primary, first grade, or whatever. Grandma dressed you and wanted you to go to school because she felt handicapped without education. She felt like that if you get this education, you will help yourself and perhaps come back to the reservation and help us. So she did her best and sent you to school, even sent you to the boarding school. But she didn't know that that school was going to individualize you. She didn't know that that school was going to make you independent. Isn't that what the congressional records say? These savages must learn to say mine instead of ours, were the early instructions of 1800s when education came into the Indian country. And I don't think those ideas have changed yet. So when you go to school, you learn to be an individual person when you leave that school. And that's why our Indian people, receiving their diplomas and their degrees, they did not go back to the reservations. They went to San Francisco for a job. From San Francisco, there was a better paying job in Chicago, so they went there. From Chicago, they went to New York and never went back to the reservation. Young people, grandma is still out there on a reservation. Grandpa is still out there. Uncle and aunts, many of them still drawing water from the creeks. Many of them still have outside toilets. They still live in those old shacks that you grew up in, is what I have reminded many students in different universities. But if you know Indian way of life, you will learn how to care for other people. You will learn the laws that has been here for thousands of years. The natural laws of love, peace, and respect. No man-made laws will ever take the place of it. And this is why the longest walk comes about. This is why many of our Indian people are protesting. This is why they are speaking out for their rights. These are the rights that we seek. This is the natural rights that was given to us. There is nothing wrong with knowing your language. There is nothing wrong with being who you are. We must understand this. No matter how much education we seek, we have to know this. Because it is something that was given to us by the Great Spirit and by the Creator. It did not take the act of Congress to give me my color. We are who we are, and we must be proud of it. So in our Awareness Week, wherever they may be, this is what I have to offer to the Native people. And to the non-Indian people, it is time that you study the history of this country. When you do, you you will get away from the thoughts of John Wayne movies. You will get away from all the books that you have read. You will truly understand what the native people are doing. You will understand their problems. Not too long ago, this country celebrated 200-year birthday. In 200 years' time, Indians and non-Indians, if they understood these natural laws, they should be looking at each other as brothers and sisters. But this is not happening. So there is something wrong somewhere. We have to think about this. We have to see the reasons behind all the actions that you have heard about or have read about. Our people are still fighting. They are still standing up to be recognized. As a free, freedom-loving person, every citizen of the United States should stop and recognize these problems. How can we solve the problems in other countries if we cannot solve them here at home? We must understand that we are all human beings. It is important to be human beings. It's important to act like one. But if you can't act like one, you might as well not be one. I may be misunderstood many times, but perhaps the reason is that I am talking about a human being way of life. Because there are those who believe that they descended from apes. And sometimes I believe that maybe there are some people that descended from apes. That's why they don't know what I'm talking about. Because I'm talking about a human being way of life. Perhaps when I say Indian way of life, it is an error. Because Indian way of life is a natural way of life. Therefore, it must be a human being way of life. Thank you.